Okay, got some announcements to go through this morning, and the first one, most of you probably heard Billie Joe Shook passed away. Her visitation will be tonight from 5 to 7 at Oaklawn, and funeral service here tomorrow here at First Baptist at 10 a.m. So continue to lift up her family and in prayers for comfort and peace during this time that they go through this. Again, church conference tonight, we have church conference today at 5:30. Youth activity this Wednesday at 6 p.m. will be at Curtis and Jill Cope's home. Okay, so youth meeting at Curtis and Jill Cope's home. South Texas Children's Home Ministry, we are collecting canned and paper goods for the South Texas Children's Home. We will collect until Sunday, July 31st. There is a list of items needed at the Welcome Center. Items can be put in the wooden box by the Welcome Center or on top of the stack that's already out there, which is awesome to see. So just keep building that up on there. I believe Tangie is going to send a picture to them, so that way when they come Sunday to collect, they'll know what kind of vehicle they need to bring with them and everything. So continue to remember them and bring items for that also, collecting through the 31st. Also, the evening of the 31st, we have two things going on. Some of you probably like this one the most, Ice Cream Fellowship. Okay. Now, we're asking that everybody please use homemade ice cream makers so that way you can pack it in ice and bring it up here, because we don't have a lot of freezer space, if hardly any, to put like half gallons from HEB, although I love Bluebell, I'm not going to complain about it. But it's hard to put it in there, you know, for an hour or so and then have it not, you know, otherwise we'll be doing soft serve ice cream, okay, in there. Okay, but before you can go enjoy what you made, you have to sing for it. So at 5:30 on the 31st, we're having a fifth Sunday singing. Okay, and this is just going to be an evening of praising God through song. Again, we do have a sign-up list out there if you want to do a solo, duet, trio, whatever, or if you want to sign up for just a song you'd like to do. And I saw somebody put on there page 60, so hallelujah, we'll have that done. We'll also have a time during that service where we'll just let you call out some hymn numbers. Okay, and what we call that is test Sheila's skills. That's what we call that. Okay, when you do that. Okay, she's ready for it. Okay, so come out and let's have a good, enjoying time singing to God and then having a nice fellowship with the ice cream. Also, there's more announcement stuff. Read your bulletin. And if you are a visitor here today, we welcome you. And there is a tear-out form here that we have that we'd love for you to fill out and so we can have a record of your visit and make contacts as necessary on that. And I think that brings us pretty much to the end of that. I'll tell you, I just want to confess a little bit here to you. When I was asked to do this job back in May about leading music, I was really a little apprehensive because I don't consider myself a singer. Anybody got an amen to that one? Okay. But I'll tell you what, and my wife can tell you, I was a little apprehensive, but I will tell you, Lord's laid this in my heart, and I really have enjoyed this because I just really enjoy music. You know, I really love music. I'm a baritone singer. That's why you don't hear me on the high tenor parts. But I think I've had allergy or something hit. So today I'm a bass singer. Okay, so I'm just going to let you know. So please sing out as loud as you can. Let's go ahead and start that next slide, please. This is hot. Oh, you got the music over here. I've got different things everywhere. And let's stand and we're going to sing Days of Elijah. Yeah, enjoy the music. It's a nice intro. Are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, It's a year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the field is wide in the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining in the sky. At the trumpet calls, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. All right, on this one, we have to have a little dynamic, so we're going to do this one starting soft. All right, this is soft. There is no God like Jehovah. There is no God like Jehovah. There is no God like Jehovah. There is no God. Bring it up stronger. There is no God like Jehovah. There is no God like Jehovah. There is no God like Jehovah. As loud as you can. Here we go. There is no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding in the clouds, shining through the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, do the jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation come. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation come. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation come. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Lift your voice at the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. All right, amen. Okay, next one's going to be This Is Amazing Grace.
Sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, who gives us glory, who gives us love, all kings, who takes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless to stand and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would hear my cross. You laid down your sin, that that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Who brings our chaos?
Who brings our chaos into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of Glory, the King of Glory, who rules the nation with truth and justice, unlike the sun in all of his brilliance. The King of Glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your eye that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. It's unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Amen. You may be seated just for a moment, please. I've been standing for a little while. A couple of announcements I didn't make on here, first of all, and I forgot about that. We want to welcome Walter Jackson here. He's going to be our guest speaker today while Brother Robert's out on sabbatical. So we appreciate you being here, brother. Also, I just want to thank you all for on the last business meeting on June 26th, you approved new microphones. As you can see, we are getting down to the wire, okay? This one worked last Sunday, and then Sunday night, it stopped working. And that was the third wireless that we had. So we are replacing them with three, and then we are having two new microphones for the choir, so you can actually hear them when they're singing. So, but I do want to appreciate the church allowing us to upgrade our equipment, stuff like that, because we definitely need it, okay? We are still working on our sound system. We're still trying to get somebody coming in to hear that, so I just want to let you know. And then today, the choir probably notices our TV back here, our cheater screen, as we say for the choir, is no longer doing anything, okay? Had nice big words, then it went to small words at the bottom, and now all it is a screensaver. So, okay, so forgive me when I kind of look up and I look down, I lose my place. That's why I'm looking down a lot, because I can't look up and actually know what I'm doing. Okay, so just so you know on that. Okay, for our hymn to get ready for the offertory, and I do need to say, ushers, on the prayer for the offertory, we need you to come up here to the pulpit, and that's another tech problem we're having. We're having to use these monitors here so loud to help these up here that if you notice last Sunday when we had the offertory here, it really gave a bad feedback because we have the speakers turned up so loud. So whoever's doing the offertory prayer, please come up to the pulpit, please. Or I can bring you the mic, whichever. if you're on this end. I am limited, okay? All right. Feels like the old days. All right, it's awesome, though. Okay, leaning on the everlasting arms. We're going to do all three verses. We'll sit for the first two, and then we'll stand for the third, okay? Fellowship, sorry, Sheila.
Leaning on the everlasting arm. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, how sweet to walk in the pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning.
Would you stand, please?
Lasting on. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arm. I have everlasting. Leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alone. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful to be here today. We just pray that you would bless this service, be with Brother Jackson as he brings your word. We ask you, Lord, that you be with our Brother Robert and Laura, and just bless them and care for them as they're away. Bring them back safely and refreshed with your spirit. We just praise you, Lord, for all the ways you've blessed this church. We thank you for all our ministries. Just bless each one. We ask now that you take these tithes and offering and use them to the furtherance of your kingdom. We just ask you, Lord, to forgive us for all the ways we fail. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All, excuse me. All hail the power of Jesus' name. We'll see in this first, second, and fourth verse.
Song and crown.
Well, it's good to be with you. I want you to find in your Bible Philippians chapter 1. It's my privilege to be here. I want to commend you on giving Brother Robert this time away for some time of refreshment and prayer and reading. And I will be here again next Sunday as well. And so, sorry about that. But anyway, that's the way it goes. But thank you for giving him and Miss Laura this time away. Also, continue to thank you for your work with Samaritan's Purse and the Shoebox Ministry. We have no idea what this year will be like. We thought last year would kind of be down, and we went up. So we're just trusting that you're going to be as faithful as always, as well as other churches. And there'll be even more shoeboxes this year. Parkway will once again be the main drop-off point, and so we look forward to that time. It'll be here before we know it. So it's looking forward to a good year with that. I want to share a message with you this morning. I've titled, Living Above Your Circumstances. Living Above Your Circumstances. In 1973, a man by the name of G.W. Target wrote a short story titled, The Window. It goes like this. The story tells of two men, both seriously ill, who occupied the same small hospital room. One man was allowed to sit up in his bed for an hour each afternoon to help drain the fluid from his lungs. His bed was next to the room's only window. The other man had to spend all his time flat on his back. The men talked for hours on end. They spoke of their wives and families, their homes, their jobs, and involvement in the military, where they'd been on vacation. And every afternoon, when the man in the bed by the window could sit, he would pass the time by describing to his roommate all the things he could see outside the window. The man in the other bed began to live for those one-hour periods where his world would be broadened and enlivened by all the activity and color of the outside world. The window overlooked a park with a lovely lake, the man said. Ducks and swans played on the water while children sailed their model boats. Lovers walked arm in arm amid flowers of every color of the rainbow. Grand old trees graced the landscape, and a fine view of the city's skyline could be seen in the distance. As the man by the window described all this in exquisite detail, the man on the other side of the room would close his eyes and imagine the picturesque scene. One warm afternoon, the man by the window described a parade passing by. And although the other man couldn't hear the band, he could see it in his mind's eye as the gentleman by the window portrayed it with descriptive words. Unexpectedly, an alien thought entered his head. Why should he have all the pleasure of seeing everything while I never get to see anything? It didn't seem fair. As the thought fermented, the man felt ashamed at first. But as the days passed and he missed more sights, his envy eroded into resentment and soon turned him sour. He began to brood and he found himself unable to sleep. He should be the one by the window. That thought now controlled his life. Late one night, as he lay staring at the ceiling, the man by the window began to cough. He was choking on the fluid in his lungs. The other man watched in the dimly lit room as the struggling man by the window groped for the button to call for help. Listening from across the room, he never moved. Never pushed his own button, which would have brought the nurse running. In less than 5 minutes, the coughing and choking stopped, along with the sound of breathing. Now there was only silence. Deathly silence. The following morning, the day nurse arrived to bring water for their baths. When she found the lifeless body of the man by the window, she was saddened and called for the hospital attendants to take it away. No words, no fuss. As soon as it seemed appropriate, the other man asked if he could be moved next to the window. The nurse was happy to make the switch, and after making sure he was comfortable, she left him alone. Slowly, painfully, he propped himself up on one elbow to take his first look. Finally, he would have the joy of seeing it all himself. He strained to look out the window beside the bed. It faced a blank wall. Ever felt like you were facing a blank wall? Expecting so much more, but only seeing a blank wall? Your circumstance has caused that to be your reality? Well, the book of Philippians, that's kind of the Apostle Paul's situation. If you'll remember, he wrote Philippians while in jail in Rome, and he was chained either, some say, to a wall, some say to a Roman soldier, possibly it was even both. But that's what he was, that his situation where he was. So, but Paul, like the man by the window, the first man, he chose to look beyond the wall, above the circumstance, to what was happening on the other side of it. So as we look at Philippians chapter 1 this week and next week, I want you to learn from Paul how we can look beyond whatever wall it is that you seem to be facing, to look above your circumstances of life in order to see how you can live a life of joy, living above your circumstances. I heard Chuck Swindoll say in a sermon one time, life is 10% what happens to us. The other 90% is how we deal with that 10%. And that's true in so many ways. So I want you to consider when you're facing difficult circumstances and there's a wall that you just can't seem to see beyond. Number one, and this is a tough one now, but I want you to hear this. Number one, look for the progress of the circumstance, even when it's a tough one. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. The Apostle Paul writes, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else." The progress of the circumstance. Now let's be honest here. Most of us at the onset of being arrested for preaching and being chained to a Roman soldier probably wouldn't see progress in our situation. That's one of the great things about when we live. We live on this side of biblical history, so we get to see the whole story and we get to learn from it in that way. Here's another verse in that regard. In Romans chapter 4, which is one of my favorite chapters, it's a summary of the life of Abraham. If you want to get a picture of what it means to live by faith, read Romans chapter 4. You get toward the end of that chapter and we find this in verses 23 and 24. "Now, not for his sake only was it written, Abraham." In other words, this history of Abraham's life that we have in the Old Testament, and as Paul summarizes it in chapter 4, it wasn't written down just for posterity's sake. It wasn't just written down to be a historical record. It wasn't written down just for that it was reckoned to him, that is his faith, but for our sake also, to whom it will be reckoned, so that we can know what it means to live by faith, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. So we have the opportunity to read the Word of God and to learn from those who have lived before us and how they trusted God as an example for us and how we also can trust God. So your circumstance, you're looking at a wall. The situation's gotten you down. What do you do? You look for the progress that God can bring about. And here's the great thing about, again, us living now and being able to know the whole story. We can see how Paul understood the progress, and it gives us a direction on how we can look for progress in whatever we're dealing with. Now, listen, there is one thing that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now, the older I get, the more I study, the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. I mean, I've got more questions now than I've ever had. But there's one thing that I know that I know that I know. In any and every circumstance or situation, God wants to reveal his glory. I don't care what the situation may be. God wants to reveal his glory to us in every situation. So what's his glory in the circumstance? It's however God shows himself. That's the reality of his glory. So look for God. Just because you can't immediately see God at work doesn't mean he's not working. So look for where he may be working. Now, it may be in the bad circumstance you find yourself in, that God brings about a deliverance. He did for Peter in Acts chapter 12, rescued him out of prison, right? It may be strength to endure. That was Paul for the thorn in the flesh. It may be the provision of your need. You find that in Philippians chapter 4, and Paul says that God provided his need. It may be the opportunity to witness of God's grace and love. And that was it for Paul right here in this scene. That's what Paul saw. Some men who may never have had the chance to hear about Jesus because their duty was to guard the palace. He says the whole Praetorian Guard, these were the hand-picked elite palace guard. They lived in the palace to guard the palace. They didn't get out much. And yet here it was. They had their chance to hear about the gospel. The gospel has come to them in the venue of Paul's imprisonment. Paul's bad circumstance became the method of the soldiers hearing the gospel and some of them being saved. Now, had Paul been American and immersed in himself, probably would have been different, right? Oh, poor, pitiful me. Why is this bad stuff always happening to me? Why am I always getting in trouble? I'm out here serving the Lord. I'm preaching the gospel and I get put in the prison. Oh, my. That's typical American Christian response. Thank goodness that wasn't Paul's response. See, if that would have been his case, he would have missed seeing the glory of God in the opportunity, the progress of the circumstance. So instead of seeing the blank wall of the prison he was in and the hard-hearted, brutal Roman soldiers that he better not make mad, Paul saw the parade. The parade of souls that was coming by him, in fact, coming to him around the clock. I mean, he'd have a couple of guards guarding him, soldiers guarding him, and they had a shift, who knows, 4, 6, 8 hours, and then they'd get relieved, and guess what? Here comes two more guys. He had the captive audience. They may have thought he was captive, but he had the captive audience. See, Paul had a divine perspective on life. Wherever he went, whatever he did, whoever he met, it was a prospect for the gospel. And he wrote about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, he wrote, "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Let me ask you, is that how you see people? Is that how you see circumstances that you find yourself in? That's how the Apostle Paul saw people. Everything about his wording in these verses is about progress. The progress of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he said at the very beginning of verse 12. I want you to know that my circumstance have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. B.H. Carroll, who was the founder of Southwestern Seminary back in 1908, said, "The word of God cannot be bound, nor the outgoings of a great Christian heart imprisoned." What a great thought. Notice in verse 13 the words, "so that." He's writing about his situation and he says, "so that." See, whatever wall it seems you're facing, whatever the circumstances you're in, look for the "so that." The "so that" in which God can bring about a blessing. Where God can bring about progress in your life and for the lives of others. He said, "here's my situation, but it's so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else." Word was getting out, you see. So in Paul's case, it was these soldiers were hearing about Jesus and about salvation. And then also we're going to see in a minute in verse 14, that was bringing about boldness in other believers outside the jail. See, God is able. When we allow him to truly be God in our lives and over our lives to bring about progress, no matter what the circumstance may be, no matter what the situation is. Now there's some great stuff Paul says next, but that was worth your coming here today. Look for progress of any circumstance you find yourself, even when it seems you're facing a blank wall. Number two, look for the progress beyond the circumstance. Continuing this very long sentence, Paul begins in verse 12 and goes all the way through verse 14. Listen to what he says next, verse 14. "And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear." Talk about seeing the progress. Talk about seeing the glory of God revealed. Soldiers are hearing the gospel. They're being saved. They're growing bold to share the gospel. And other believers are growing bold to share the gospel, to teach the word, and to share it without fear. How? How's this happening? From seeing the way Paul is approaching his difficult circumstance. Sometimes the greatest thing that comes about from us going through a difficult time is how we go through it. It's sort of that 10%, 90% thing. The bigger ordeal of life is how we handle life. When we walk through a difficult time and we do so with confidence in the Lord, being held up by His strength, looking for His glory to be revealed to us and through us, it gives hope to others who are facing tough times as well. It shows a powerful witness to the person who doesn't have a relationship with Christ and is wanting to know if Christ is real. Well, let me watch these people that say they believe in Jesus and see how they go through it. And I'm not talking about us going through a tough time and saying all along, I just know God's going to fix this problem. I'm not saying that, because we all know not all problems get fixed. It's when we go through the circumstance standing firm on the reality of God and His grace to help us through it no matter what the outcome is. And in that state we go through with confidence in Him being our strength. Then when other people see our strength and our trust in God through our circumstance, it causes them to be more open to the reality of Jesus, and that gives us the opportunity to share Jesus with them. How is it that you deal with this? How did you make it through that? How are you making it through that? Well, you know, we just talking about Jesus. Now they're ready to listen. That's the progress beyond the circumstance. We've got to keep in mind, God's will and purpose, while it includes us, is much bigger than us. What we see next is Paul's attitude about life and the gospel, verses 15 to 18. He says, some, to be sure, now he's talking about those who are sharing, speaking the word without fear, some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. Apparently, there were people who were, maybe jealous of Paul in what he was doing. And so they were using Paul's imprisonment to further their own personal ministry. But what does Paul think about that? He doesn't care. Paul doesn't care as long as they're preaching the gospel. In other words, Paul says, let them speak negatively about me. Let them take advantage of my circumstance. As long as in the midst of it, they're sharing the gospel. Look, as long as they're talking about Jesus, because when Jesus is talked about, the word of God is declared, then the Holy Spirit can speak to hearts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the last part of verse 13, Paul was talking to the people, you know, about that kind of thing, about himself. And he says to them, Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He's like, it's not about me. Now, you've heard me say that before. I've said that several times in this church. Paul's saying is, listen, it's not about you. Paul says, it's not about me. He wasn't worried about his reputation, because it wasn't his reputation that counted. For Paul, it was all about the cross. It's all about Jesus being proclaimed. The circumstance may be that people are, maybe they're talking bad about you. Maybe they're talking about, saying things about you that aren't true, that sort of thing. People are taking advantage of you or your circumstance or your situation that you're, well, so what? Is your life about you or is it about Jesus? People are always going to talk bad about us. I love the illustration of that. When in the Catholic Church, when a person is up for sainthood, then what they do, they have this process where they set up a council, and they allow people to come and talk good things, say good things about this person. Like, for example, Mother Teresa. When she died and it was being considered a saint, people lined up for blocks and blocks and blocks. And they would come by this council and to tell about a miracle that took place because maybe she prayed for them or she touched them or she brought food to them or she cared for their sick parent or you know she spoke a word to them in their misery. It is over and over. All these great stories of these great things that Mother Teresa did. And after everybody has their chance, then they ask anybody if they have something bad to say. And people line up for blocks and blocks and blocks. Mother Teresa skipped by me when I was in line and she skipped right, didn't even look at me and helped the person next to me. When I asked Mother Teresa to come to my house, she didn't come. No. What's the moral of the story? If they talk bad about Mother Teresa, you and I don't have a chance. They talk bad about Paul too. It's just the way it goes. See, if it's about Jesus, then that's all that matters. There's always going to be people who are going to talk bad about us. But if it's about Jesus, then you look beyond the circumstance to what God can do and wants to do and is doing, and you know there's progress going on. Now there's a catch. There's always a catch, isn't there? There's a catch. There first has to be the reality that you are living for Jesus, that you are sharing Jesus, that you are showing Jesus, that you are trusting in Jesus, and you are wanting Jesus to be proclaimed no matter what. Then you can know that no matter what the circumstance may be, God will bring about progress for His glory. The main thing is that Christ is being proclaimed, whether it's from the pulpit or the prison. Just so long as Christ is being proclaimed. And with Christ being proclaimed, like Paul, we can rejoice. We can rejoice regardless of the circumstances. If we look beyond them, trusting God for progress being made. There will always be those who are taking advantage of Christianity. There will always be those who are using Christianity for their own selfish motives. That's just the way it goes. Listen, there will always be those who use Christianity like a crutch. When tough times come, you're going to find them crying out to Jesus. You're going to find them showing up at church. As soon as things get better, hey, it's the weekend. It's for playing and relaxing. Sunday's fun day, right? It's always going to be that way. And there will always be people who, out of love for Jesus, are sharing Him and His saving message of grace. Whatever's going on in your life, there is joy to experience when we look for progress of any circumstance and beyond any circumstance. Then number three, look for progress regardless of the circumstance. Now remember, one thing I just shared with you, one thing I know that I know that I know, God wants to reveal His glory. Another thing I know is that God will reveal His glory and also that He will be glorified. That's going to happen. So regardless of the situation or the circumstance, look for progress. Progress can be seen in the glory of God, and the glory that God reveals may indeed be the progress. Look at verses 19 and 20. He says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." Regardless of how people were abusing and or taking advantage of Paul's circumstance, he knew God would not let him down. How did Paul view that? For Paul, no matter what would happen, Jesus would be exalted. That is to say, Jesus would be praised. Jesus would be glorified. Jesus would be honored. People would be talking about Jesus. In other words, Jesus would be exalted. Now, it's not that Paul was expecting to be delivered from the prison in the immediate circumstance. And we know that because of what he says at the end of verse 20. Whether by life or by death. See, either way was a deliverance. If God did a rescue like he did in Acts chapter 12 with Peter, he was delivered. If he died in God's glory doing what God wanted him to do, he's delivered. It's kind of like what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told Nebuchadnezzar. Hey, look, you can throw us in the fire if you want to. We're not going to bow, because either way, we're going to be out of your hand. You throw us in the fire and we die, we're out of your hand, and we're with our God. If God works a miracle and delivers us, it's going to radically change your life, King. We'll be delivered. Same kind of deal. Either way, Paul's willing to die if that's what it takes, and in the process, Jesus is lifted up. See, it's regardless. It's regardless. It's no matter what. It's whatever it takes. I think that ought to be the mission statement of every church. Whatever it takes. How are you going to reach people for Jesus? We're going to do whatever it takes. How are you going to praise and give glory to God? We're going to do it whatever it takes. I mean, what a surrendered attitude. Say it however you want to say it. If your desire in life is to see the progress of God at work in you and around you, and you want God to do His work in you and through you, then it won't matter to you how He does it. You'll simply want to live in such a way that it's possible through you. And you'll allow God to do whatever and use whatever He needs to bring about the proclaiming and revealing of Jesus and His glory. Now, look, and so if you find yourself in a difficult circumstance, or say it this way, when, because it's going to happen, you've heard that description of the Christian life, right? If you're not in a spiritual battle right now, it's because you just came out of one or you're just about to go into one. Let me encourage you with those words. That when you find yourself in a difficult circumstance, look beyond it to what God may do through it, and even to what God may do with it. And to simplify this is to say, look, Paul just trusted God. That's the simple explanation. Paul just trusted God. He just served God wherever he was, however he could, and then he trusted God for the result. What a way to live. That's called living abandoned to the Lord. That's when you're living life in such a way that it's all about Jesus and it's all for Jesus, just flat out. It's kind of a double-edged sword. When you're abandoned to Christ, your life is completely sold out to the glory of God. Then you only look for God's progress in everything, and you only see progress for God in everything. And as you see God's progress in everything, you live more abandoned to Him and to His glory. So the way you approach life is just for Jesus. Whatever will cause the message of salvation to go forth and reach lives, and if that means I live and carry on, then that's great. And if it means somehow God would be better served if I die for Him, then I'm ready to go. Just abandoned to Jesus. Everything for His glory. The progress of the gospel. The progress of any and of every circumstance. About a week ago, I saw this on Facebook, the Experiencing God Henry Blackaby page. If you follow that, they put different things on from time to time. It was so timely. It said this: do not allow difficult events to cancel the joy of knowing you are a child of God. Choose to allow God's Spirit to fill you with His unquenchable joy, and your life will be a miracle to those who watch you face the trials that come. That's the way the Apostle Paul lived. That's how you and I can live above our circumstances when we look for God at work in them, through them, and even beyond them. If joy is something you're struggling with, listen, dig in to the words of the Apostle Paul and the circumstance he was facing, and you'll see how you too can find joy and hope in God and trust in Him and be stronger for it and see Him work in you and through you because of it. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word, how it teaches us, what it shows us, how it reveals to us your desire for us to experience joy. And for this hero of the faith, the Apostle Paul, and how in the midst of this circumstance, being chained up in a Roman jail, In spite of that, he saw you at work. He didn't feel sorry for himself. He didn't have a pity party. He looked for how you could work. And in that, he found joy. So, Father, I pray this morning in this room. I'm certain there are people, maybe at least one in every pew, struggling in a difficult situation, a tough circumstance. Father, I pray your word will help them to see you in the midst of where they are. And they will begin to experience your joy right where they are, so that they can know your presence more fully. But also, Lord, you would use them as a witness and a testimony to others that you are God. You will not leave us alone. And you will walk with us through whatever we face. Now, Lord, I pray, if there's someone in this room today who's never experienced that kind of joy because they've never committed their life to you, then maybe today's the day where it kind of all comes together and makes sense that you desire to have a relationship with them even more than they want one with you. And I pray that during this time of invitation, just a moment as we stand and sing, that you'll give them the courage to come forward. And all they'll have to do, I'll just stand down here at the front. Lord, all they'll have to do is come down to the front and say, I need Jesus. We'll be able to help them begin a personal, loving, intimate, eternal relationship with you. For those that have been struggling with difficulties, Lord, I pray you would pour your joy into their hearts and minds today in the reality of yourself. So for what you need to do in us, what only you can do, Lord, I pray you would do that and help us to be obedient to what you say. For that, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let's stand together. We're going to have an invitation hymn. God's dealing with you. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and pray. If you need to come forward for whatever reason, whatever God may be saying to you, you do as we sing.
Yes, if you need to come down, Brother Brother Lambert will be down here. Gerald, okay, if anybody needs to come, have him pray with you or anything else like that. So let God deal with you as he deals. Okay? Just as I am. Nothing like a little confessional time here when you realize you're a bad Baptist. And the reason I say that, and let me go with this. My mother always told me two things about being a good Baptist. One is, find your pew, sit there, don't move. You know, amen. We know we like to have our faith place. The other one is, whatever you do, you follow the printed program. Okay, you're not supposed to deviate from that. Well, I did today. Okay, and I forgot to ask Brother John Shutt to come up and do our deacon prayer. John, I apologize for that. Would you mind coming up and dismissing us with prayer, though? So I just read right through that, and I even told you, hey, read your bulletin. Okay, so I want to be a good Baptist. So, John, if you would come up and dismiss us, please, I'd appreciate that. And then we're going to sing before we leave, the family of God. Thank you, brother.
Father God, we just love you. We're just so privileged, Father, to call you our God, to call you our Father, to be a child of the King, Thank you for this time of worship. Thank you for Brother Jack Walter as he has come this day. Go with us now, Father, and just be with us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's sing the family of God.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this song. For I'm part of the family, the family.
Have a great week. Hope to see you back tonight at 5:30.